listening to KBOO, Portland, on 90.7 FM, K282BH, Philomath, on 104.3 FM, and K220HR, Hood River, on 91.9 FM.
I'm all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
You've been tuning in to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills special programming campaign, highlighting all of the thrilling shows we have to offer. If you'd like to support your favorite KBOO programs in style, check out kboo.fm/merch for the latest limited edition styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. That's kboo.fm/merch to rock out in swag.
Yo, 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 coming up next is The Third Opinion with Jeremy Ryan. On this episode, we're doing Earth Day and the Korean Dilemma.
Sometimes I try to do things, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. And like, I try hard to do it, and I like take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out. And everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like, I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately, you know? You should maybe get away. And like, maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, you know, I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone, I'll figure it out, you know? I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know? And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. So why don't you talk about it? I go, no, I don't want to, I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. And they just keep bugging me. And they just keep bugging me. There's pills on the side. It's gotta be a suicide. So come on, break my foot inside. You won't have it. Send a break my foot inside. I'm not drinking.
Hello, you're on KBOO Radio, The Korean Dilemma, Affairs Exploring Diplomacy, War, and the Survival of the Edge of the Pacific. I'm your host, Jeremy, and today we will start the year of 1994. In the year, many Americans remember the headlinings of NAFTA, O.J. Simpson, but in the background, on a far side of the world, a silent crisis was taking shape, one involving nuclear threats, secret baking pressure, and the early signs of humanitarian collapse that would haunt Asia for decades to come. The year North Korea joined the NPT, a more heavily influenced by the relationship of the Soviet Union, Moscow provided democratic pressure and technical assistance aboard the North Korea and their global network framework. And this happened in 1985. The 1985 agreement, the diplomatic playground that led eventually to the six-party talks that happened in 2003. But then much was unfolding. On the southern side of the peninsula, South Korea, along with Japan, had already deployed excessive nuclear energy programs. The programs were enabled by the United States under the so-called Agreement 123, which are part of a broader U.S. Atomic Energy Act. The agreements allowed for civilian nuclear cooperation, but always under the conditions that the material and technology would not be used for weapons. In its principles, the support of peaceful energy development, in its practice, it created a technical environment where weapons deployment became easier to imagine. It also is important to remember that the role of the P5 nations, the five nations of nuclear power under the PT agreement, were the United States, Russia, China, France, and the United Kingdom. North Korea has been part of this P5, a long argument that it was a structured, inherently unfair, creating two nuclear tiers. This also allowed to possess nuclear power, but not disdain from the weapons. This tension began to become more visible in the 90s. the North Korea joined the nuclear power NPT and moved to make under the heavy Soviet pressure. The USSR tried to stabilize its relationships in a region called Pyongyang. It's the capital of North Korea's capital. They accepted inspections in the International Atomic Energy Agency, but North Korea delayed full compliance. For nearly a decade, the world suspected that Pyongyang was hiding something. By 1993, the suspicions were clear. North Korea might already be separating the plutonium from Pyongyang from their nuclear reactors to make a weapon. In March 1993, Pyongyang threatened to withdraw from the NPT altogether. They sent shockwaves through Washington, Tokyo, and Seoul. The U.S. forces in South Korea were put on heightened alert. The military planning accelerated, and yet behind the scenes, another form of pressure was already underway. The United States and its allies were using both formal and informal channels, beginning to freeze North Korea's assets abroad. They included Chinese financial institutes and the Mokyu base banks, suspected of money laundering to North Korea's funds. For the first time, economic isolation was being used not just as a punishment, but as a pre-war signal. Then in 1994, in July, the North Korean leader Kim Song died. The moment shift from the crisis to an overdrive. The country was leaderless, fragile, and spiraling into an economic collapse. And so by October 1994, a deal was struck, known as the Agreement Framework. Under the terms, the North Koreans agreed to freeze their nuclear activities at Pyongyang, allowing IAEA monitoring and eventually dismantling the graphic monitoring reactors. In exchange, the U.S. was providing two light water nuclear reactors and a heavy amount of fuel and for industrial cars, etc. Quietly, they were expecting some degree of humanitarian aid, such as food rations. Between 1994 and 2000, the U.S. confined five site visits to the nuclear facilities in North Korea under this agreement, but the deal was so fragile that Pyongyang demanded faster aid deliveries. Washington wanted to fulfill this transparency and lurking under both agencies and the growing conflict of this food crisis in North Korea. North Korea's food system has already been failing. The loss of the Soviet support undermined the fuel, fertilizer, and trade. This combined with the flooding of poor weather and the rigid conditions of the economy, and by 1996, the country was in a collapse. Internationally, observers estimate between 240,000 and possibly 3 million people in North Korea between 1994 and 1998 were starving. Yet food diplomacy was not at the center of our agreements. In hindsight, many experts wished that that was a crucial initiative. Let's pause here and connect the present. In June 2023, the Congress Research Center reported that there is a global food security of the number of starving people around 349 million people worldwide, now facing an acute food insecurity. The World Food Program is working over 120 countries, estimated that 345 million people need emergency food assistance, and the North Koreans remain near the top of that list. The WFP's 2023 operations cost over $15.7 billion, with $6.6 billion funded by the U.S. And yet, in North Korea, the WPF access is so tightly restricted, and the aid is allowed in only under tight supervision. And even then, it is used by a leverage to get our agendas to denuclearize. In other words, hunger has become part of the North Koreans' diplomacy strategy, and a symptom of the West's failure to integrate food securities in our core policies. In 2008, there was an executive order 13466. It's still in effect, and it prohibits the U.S. persons from exploring food or technology to the North Korea without a license from the Treasury Department Office of Foreign Assistance Control. This includes medicine, medical needs, aviculture equipment, and even the use of humanitarian aid or food, basically. So this is the dilemma. In 2023, we funded the global food system, but one of the world's most food insecurity nations remains virtually cut off. And even if it trades artillery shells to Russia, even if the people rely on 90% of their input from China, and even if the climate disruptions are happening, the aviculture remains the same in the region. And yet, this is not just North Korea's story. It is also about our policies and our priorities and what we defined as national security. Now, that was my intro. And, you know, when I was kind of looking at this, this is not really a conclusion kind of episode. We've had the same conflicts that we had back in the 90s on some key areas relating to food insecurities in North Korea, relating to the desire to have power. And their nuclear power was related to Kintu. It's related to South Korea. And I have a note on it. I'm going to put that in. South Korea's began... I got the wrong note. In the 1970s, South Korea started a nuclear power corporation called KEPCO, the early nuclear power plant that was blinded by Westinghouse. So Westinghouse is a British connection relating to the P5. And so it's just, the more you learn, the more you have questions, you know. And, you know, when the end of the Soviet Union, prior to the 1994 agreements, the U.S. let a lot of people off the Soviet bloc of trade. The common amendment was called the Jackson-Vault Amendment. It began in the 1970s. It began in the 1970s. And by 1994, we let a lot of countries off the trading bloc, but we kept North Korea on it. And we used that to kind of push towards the six-party talks that began later on between 2003 and 2009. So I was hoping to bring up those kind of subjects. And if anybody is interested in calling in, I would love to hear some feedback relating to anybody that maybe understands a little bit more than me. You can learn Taekwondo. You can eat their Korean food, but you can't ask questions. The phone number for KBOO is 503-231-8187. Once again, the number for KBOO is 503-231-8187. So there's a lot to tell you, you know. Also relating to these six-party talks, in 1994, after the year of the secret development of the Pyongyang nuclear project, North Korea and the U.S. signed an agreement framework. This pause in North Korea's plutonium program, it exchanged for heavy fuel and promises for two nuclear light water reactors, which were considered less easier to convert into weapons. This agreement was fragile, and by 2002, the Bush administration accused North Korea of pursuing a converted uranium enrichment program. The U.S. suspended fuel shipments, North Korea withdrew from the NPT by early 2003, and this agreement framework collapsed, which was replaced by the six-party talks. And now I've tried to look into, like, why did this party collapse, and then it never really came together until the Trump administration, when he started speaking back with Kim Jong-un. And there's a lot of data, a lot of information on that. It seems like there was a Chinese bank that was money laundering for North Korea, and to me it seems like related to their basic goods, because we paused a lot of our humanitarian aid to North Korea periodically through this period of time. And it's just interesting to see, you know. And then in 2018, the Olympics happened in South Korea, and this was like a great opportunity also for the U.S. to try to engage. And it seems like the Trump administration went towards that. I haven't been able to develop good notes on this event, but one thing I have read is that the Trump administration, instead of what was going on related to the Bush or Clinton administration, including the Biden administration, wanted to prioritize denuclearizing North Korea before humanitarian aid would be fully given. And that was like the mistake that they made. Why it seems like the Trump administration, I don't know about Trump 2, but Trump 1 administration, wanted to prioritize humanitarian aid and culture exchange between North and South Korea. And then as a priority, and instead of, you know, taking away the weapons, which I felt was a good initiative. But at the same time, it seems we're always at the same kind of roadblock. You know what I mean? We can't really pass this kind of conflict. Do we have someone online? Oh, no. Okay. It's been a really interesting experience kind of learning about North and South Korea and learning about, I want to go more into another area, which is called ASEAN. And it's our trade policies that are related to the South China Sea, which affects more than just North Korea or South Korea. It's related to six main countries, which is Singapore, Taiwan, the Philippines, Japan. And we've tried two different main things, such as trade in these kind of areas, an alternative to the Chinese banking system. And we've had help from Europe and also through France, and it's called the French Club. And the French Club started back in the mid-90s, and they gave out a lot of loans, in particular relating to shipping and infrastructure area in the South China Sea. And it's quite interesting to find that. And then as I was trying to think to myself, well, like, is there a coalition with some of the conflicts that happened in the 90s and today? And I found like an FBI report that was published by the New York branch, which is the United States citizen pleads guilty to corresponding to assisting North Korea's evading sanctions. And so when you start looking at it, you realize that there was a tobacco conflict. And so there was North Korean businesses that were selling tobacco. And allegedly, this tobacco came from South Korean farms. And so you see like a lot of similarities of this spreading the South and North apart instead of trying to unite them in some kind of diplomatic way. And so it's kind of interesting when you find that. And then also this happened this year too. I have a report from the New York FBI office. It's from April 8th, 2025. And it says U.S. government seized oil tankers used to violate the U.S. and U.N. sanctions against North Korea. Now, like, what's happening now is they've made a coalition with the Russians, a pact. And I have that note. Series of notes on that. The Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korea, the DRKP leader Kim Jong-un, held a summit meeting in eastern Russia in September 2023 and also in Pyongyang in June 2024. So, like, you know, we could have had our own diplomatic connections with North Korea and Russia. But that's a whole nother conflict relating to sanctions and the conflicts that we have with both countries, which are valid, you know, questions. But when you think about nuclear power and nuclear weapons, even though there's a social and political conflict, these countries come together and work on Pacific agreements. So Putin's visit in 2024, the visit to Pyongyang, appeared to be restoring elements of the Soviet Union, elements in North Korea by their military alliances prior to the breaking of 1991 agreement. Article 3 of the agreement between North Korea and Russia's partnership treaty calls for an immediate providing of military and other assistance by all of their means available. And so, like, when I was looking up some more, I can tell you a lot about the Russians. I have a lot on them. But what I also noticed is that this year in particular, they have an 8% deficit in their aviculture grain supplies, which is a conflict that they've been having with the Ukrainians since 2022. They've been stealing grain from the Ukrainians. And so they've been giving grain and other foods to not just to the North Koreans, but to their kind of their non-strategic Security Council allies, you know? And it's just like you ask yourself, well, what could we do, you know, to help? And so the World Trade Organization itself, its funding has been cut. It's been cut in 2025. It's been cut in 2023, and it's been cut in 2024. And that's where the big question comes. You know what I mean? Like I said before, you know, you can learn Taekwondo, you can eat their food, but you can't ask the questions. And so that's why I came here, to kind of work on a series of two to three part series on the Southeast Asian Sea, and trying to kind of understand the connections relating to these peace talks in North Korea that also have a lot of connections with the Taiwan meetings as well. And it's just kind of interesting when you kind of go into that and you see these kind of connections. Once again, this is Jeremy Ryan on KBOO Radio, and this is Earth Day. And we're talking about the Korean dilemma relating to nukes or no nukes. And the phone number here is 503-231-8187. And so I have some more facts. So the British and us were the first to create this kind of P5 agreement. It's based off an agreement that we did in 1956, I believe. And so we kind of slowly collected the five main countries together to kind of work on areas of not just nuclear weapons, but nuclear waste. So heavy water treatment and stuff like that. And another missed opportunity with North Korea that I've been kind of trying to understand is what happened in 2011 relating to Japan. They had a terrible tsunami flood that damaged their nuclear reactor in 2011. And they kept this water for over 10 years trying to figure out what they're going to do with it. And I don't know why we didn't take this water, because under the agreement of 123 and Amendment 847, that the nuclear waste in Japan is our responsibility. And so they allegedly cleaned it good enough that they can put it back into the South Asian Sea. And many different countries came to the UN trying to ask to not to do that, related to the heavy waters treatment was not safe for the ocean. And that was North Korea, South Korea, Japan, the Philippines, China. And long story short, we didn't stop it, you know what I mean? And the COP meetings that we have didn't even talk about it, you know? And then you start going, trying to understand that thing, and it's a whole kind of another rabbit hole. But the COP meeting in 2016 and that was in 2010, the world's leading countries pledged to achieve a goal of $100 billion in climate change financing year-round until 2020. That was their big day. Was they wanted to cut down emissions, which that was a 1992 agreement that came together in, I believe it was in Berlin, Germany, but in 1994. And the big thing that they wanted to talk about was in the UNFCCC's CO2 concentrations and the pre-industrial levels that existed. They wanted to bring it down by 30% into a roughly between 280 parts per million to 356 parts per million. By 2015 and 2016, these concentrations were going above worldwide 400 parts per million. And so you see what they're working towards, the COP meetings, and you see what they're kind of forgetting. And that's kind of part of the Korean dilemma. Once again, I want to thank people for listening to me. And this is KBOO Radio on the Korean dilemma. And the phone number here, I'm looking for research buddies and people that want to learn more about the South China Sea, and 503-231-8187. And can we finish my song? Is it possible to put my song back on for the last 4 minutes? You can read the CRS reports, but nobody listens. Yeah.
Try hard to do it, and I like take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out. And everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately, you know? You should maybe get away, and like maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out, you know? I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know? And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. So why don't you talk about it? I go, no, I don't want to. I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. And they just keep bugging me. They just keep bugging me. There's pills on the side. It's got to be a suicide. So come up, break what's left side. You will have it. Then I'll break what's just a shit away. I'm not crazy. I was in my room, and I was just like staring at the wall, thinking about everything. Then again, I was thinking about nothing. And then my mom came in, and I didn't even know she was there. She called my name, and I didn't hear her. Then she started screaming, Mike, Mike! And I go, what? What's the matter? She goes, what's the matter with you? I go, there's nothing wrong, Mom. She goes, don't tell me that. You're on drugs. I go, no, Mom, I'm not on drugs. I'm okay, I'm just thinking, you know? Why don't you give me a Pepsi? She goes, no, you're on drugs. I go, Mom, I'm okay, I'm just thinking. She goes, no, you're not thinking, you're on drugs. Normal people don't act that way. I go, Mom, just give me a Pepsi, please. All I want is a Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. All I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. Just a Pepsi. Keep my shirt with my sleeves. I'm pretty bad to see a sleeve. Just get me, just play me. It's the good thing, I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. Here's the decision. You're the one that's crazy. Here's the decision. You got to be crazy. Here's the decision. It's the end and it's too shit. That was the only solution you can get from that love. Just take it from the enemy myself. I'm sitting in my room, my mom and my dad came in. They pulled up the chair and they sat down. They go, Mike, we need to talk to you. And I go, okay, what's the matter? They go, me and your mom, we've noticed lately you've been having a lot of problems. And you've been going off for no reason. And we're afraid you're going to hurt somebody. And we're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. So we decided that it would be in your best interest if we put you somewhere where you can get the help that you need. And I go, wait, what are you talking about? We decided my best interest. How do you know what my best interest is? How can you say what my best interest is? What are you trying to say? I'm crazy. Well, I went to your school. I went to your churches. I went to your institutional learning facilities. So how can you say I'm crazy? Say no to things for me. Leave it up to them. I think by the time they think my head, mentally I'll be dead. It doesn't matter, I'll probably get hit by a car anyway.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio here broadcasting from Portland, Oregon. This is our Earth Day Marathon. We just heard Nukes or No Nukes, the Human and Environmental Cost of a Standoff, and our Earth Day programming is continuing until 10 p.m. tonight. Right about now, we are moving into our Spanish block in the afternoon with a special Earth Day focus. Later today at 4, we'll be hearing a rebroadcast of Barbara Bernstein's documentary, Chasing Chimeras, The Lure of Deceptive Climate Solutions. At 5:30, we'll hear Coast Range Radio. At 6, it's Four Walls for Us All. We'll get a little music in at 7 with some Earth Day punk stuff. And then we're getting into forest and nature sound, so stick around for it. KBOO Portland.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland. Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 22 de abril del 2025.